In chapter 13, that's just kind of interesting. I got my outline, came to the pulpit, and realized that I had put two English outlines on the stairs, and I had kept the Spanish outline. I tell you, that was not going to be good. So let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. Saturday morning, Mrs. Bishop and I will be traveling back. We are going to be at an event out of state on Friday. Saturday, we'll be traveling back. We will be here on Sunday, but I will not be here for Saturday soul winning. Brother Warren, health permitting, is going to be here and give out the soul winning assignments. Everything will take place as it normally does. And Brother Warren, be praying for him that he feels better. We're in Revelation chapter 13, and Victoria, set your mind at ease. We're going to make this happen, okay? We're gonna figure that out. And so just rest easy. Rest easy. Revelation chapter 13 is the beast. The beast of government. And the ultimate beast of government is the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the Revelation economy. You think government is beastly now? And people have decried what's been going on over the last several months. We've had some folks here that are affected as the workforce of the government is being downsized. And a big, beautiful bill, is that what they're calling it? A big, beautiful spending bill is out there that is going to add $3 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. I'll just tell you that we are on our way to bankruptcy. We might be going at it at a slower rate than we were before, but can you imagine for just a moment that you sat down with your spouse and you said, I have our budget for the next year or the next 10 years and we're only going to be $3 trillion in the hole when 10 years are done. you should expect to get hit by a 2x4 when it's done. What are you saying? People look at the government today and say, what a beast! They are, laying people off, firing people, downsizing, reigning in, spending, what a beast. I'm just saying, nothing like you're going to see in Revelation 13. No man will buy or sell or get gain, except that he hath the number of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the number of his name. And you say, well, Pastor, how can that even be? I ask you a question. How many of you shop on Amazon? Yeah, you can find anything on Amazon, right? A lot of vendors, they just do it on Amazon. It doesn't, 30 years ago, we said, how is it that anything can be so big and so strong and so powerful that everybody knows that that would be the place where everybody goes? But now, everybody goes to Amazon, right? Economy of the Antichrist. You saying Amazon is the Antichrist? No, I'm not saying Amazon is the Antichrist. I'm just saying you can absolutely see how that's going to happen. How it's going to take place. And how, if you don't have an Amazon password or account, how can you get it? Man, sometimes you just can't. Hey, you're like, good luck. The beast of government. Government is not your friend. I stood upon the sand of the sea, verse 1, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, Brother Hill mentioned this. I'll mention it again. The government is not at war with me. Government is at war with God. Government is not at war with Baptist preachers. You come on Sunday. Sunday is Memorial Day. We're going to remember the price that was paid so that we could be free. Free in America, but free in the church in America. Beast has upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Again, not at war with the preachers, not at war with the Christians, or killing Christians, because that's God's representation here on this earth. Killing the two prophets that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, God's representative here on this earth. But at the crux of it, they are at war with God. Verse 2, and the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, I really want to run out of the pulpit right now and grab somebody by the neck. Like, I don't know, the person in the front row, Brother Gary. That would get your attention, right? And he's fast. He's got the feet of a bear. I don't know if you've looked at bear feet recently. They're like big and powerful. And if you meet a bear on the street, you're going to lose. Even if you have a bear gun in your hand, you're probably still going to lose. Not good. So he's got the speed of a leopard, the strength of a bear, and the mouth of a lion. Eat you up. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Now people look at verse 3 and they say, well, the devil has the ability to raise people from the dead, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. And I just remind you, you should read what it says. And we're just going to stop there for an advertisement. Brother Oldberg, you got me all stirred up. When you change your Bible, you change your doctrine. And the critical text Bibles, the NIV, the RSV, the NIV, all those Bibles, and you go to the Great Commission, they change it. If you listen to any kind of Christian radio, you know that they say that our job as missionaries is to go out and make disciples. That's works-based. That puts it on numbers. That's not what the Bible says. Once we went unto Christ, we're supposed to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. But nowhere does it say in your King James Bible that you're to go out and make disciples. You are to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. The response is not on you, according to your Bible. But you change your Bibles, you change your doctrine, and it goes from the responsibility being on God to the responsibility being on you. Wow. So read what it says in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, but it does not say that he was dead. Wounded to death, to the point of death. But it does not say there that he was dead. So no, I do not believe that Satan has the power to raise anybody from the dead. Because if he did, he would. And he doesn't. He doesn't. But I'll tell you what, you see that. His deadly wound was healed. Doesn't say his dead body. He says the deadly wound. And it was a deadly wound. Lots of wounds that are deadly, but they can be treated. His deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. I thought for sure he was dead. I was dead. Really? Did you see him dead? Did you see the EKG line? I don't know, but that's what I heard. Saw it on Facebook. Must be true. But I'll tell you what. Get your attention. The world wondered. Whoa. After the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. What's verse 4? They worshiped Satan. Why? Because Satan gave power to the beast. And in the end, that's what the world wants. They want power. You look at the rock music industry, and they are willing to sell their soul to Satan for power. But I'll just remind you, if you're watching, if you're following at all the Diddy trial that is going on and the vile, vile lifestyle. Where did that power come from? That did not come from God. But God will come to a point where he says, enough. And God's power is being brought to justice in the court system. But certainly, all those things will be brought to justice at some point. Revelation, especially chapter 13, warns us of a future one-world government that covers the entire world. It's not going to be localized, as in the White House of the United States, just 50 states, a small little bit of real estate that we own here. It's going to encompass the entire world. And they're going to rule. One world government of this period will be directed by the Antichrist and empowered by Satan himself. And the sole objective is to force the entire world to worship Satan and his representative, the beast. And notice the success in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon. They did. Because that's the way to power, and that's the way to success. You want to get ahead in the world? You got to worship the dragon. And lots of people are willing to do that. So the first beast rises up out of the sea. People talk about that. What is that? The second beast comes out of the earth, which is just kind of interesting. That's in verse 11, and we'll get to that next week. I'll just read it. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. But this first beast comes up out of the sea. So many look at that and say the sea is the mass of humanity. This Antichrist is going to come up. It's going to be a Gentile person. That's what they say. Now, I don't believe that. I personally believe that the Antichrist is going to have Jewish background. There are those that say that he is going to be Muslim based on the fact that he's coming out of the sea. And there are many Muslim nations that surround that. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a couple of reasons. Number one, Ezekiel 35 and 36 talk about just as the rapture is taking place, the Muslim nations are going to march on Israel, and five sixths of them are going to be destroyed right then, right at the beginning of the tribulation period. Wow. They're going to cease from being a problem in the world. Antichrist, the name is found four times in the Bible. Interesting, none of those times are found in the book of Revelation. They are found in John, the epistles of John. He is caught in Revelation 36 times. They're referred to as the beast. John talks about the Antichrist. Revelation talks about the beast. Again, 36 times. And John sees this first beast coming up out of the sea, seven heads, 10 horns, and seven heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. Again, symbolic of kings and kingdoms. What is written on the heads? The name of blasphemy. Turn with me to Daniel. Keep your finger here. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. It's hard to study the book of Revelation without studying the book of Daniel. And I'd encourage you to read chapter 7. We're going to read the first several verses, probably down to we'll read to verse 9. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And there we have the sea that is mentioned. The sea is mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 13 as well. And four great beasts, again, speaking of government, came up from the sea, diverse one from another. First like a lion, eagle's wings, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And I beheld another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon it the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, speaking of the Antichrist, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Again, the beast of government, and this is a forced overthrow by brute force and brutality. Nothing like, we have not seen, and we've seen a lot of world rulers that have been absolutely ruthless, but nothing like we will see here in verse 8, Revelation chapter 13, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things, a great orator, a great communicator. Notice verse 7. Dreadful, terrible, strong, exceedingly. So you look at Alexander the Great. But here is added what? What Revelation 13 speaks about, and that great satanic power, empowered by Satan himself, his power coming from the dragon. John saw a wounded head. We're back in Revelation chapter 13. Saw a wounded head, a wound unto death, but not causing death. It's just a reminder here that whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit. You ask people, are you familiar with the mark? And they're, oh yeah, I know the mark of the beast, 666. And people do that. There's a man whose mugshot was shown on TV just recently. He had 666 in big letters tattooed to his forehead. There's a man in prison. He had 666 in one of our Virginia prisons. He had 666 tattooed on his forehead, and everybody called him 18. Just irritated him to death. 6 + 6 = 18. Of course, he wanted to be the Antichrist, and they made fun of him. He's not the Antichrist. He is not. But it's just interesting. The world knows the mark of the beast. And the world is not afraid to take that mark. Why? Because they worship Satan. And they are not at war, again, with the preacher. They are at war with God. So we know the mark, but the mark goes all the way back to Genesis. And who gave the mark? God did. Who did he put upon? He put it upon Cain. You go to Ezekiel. And I've spoken from this passage before. An angel came through. He had a writer's ink horn by his side. And he was supposed to mark those that sighed and cried over the sins of Israel. Mark them for protection. That death angel absolutely went through Israel. Who was marked? Well, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I can guess that I know four names. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. The four men that were not killed. They were taken into Babylon, which is where Daniel was writing in Daniel chapter 7. It's interesting parallel, chapter 13, knowing that whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit, and that there is a wound unto death. And again, Satan trying to imitate the Lamb of God, seen in the beast's destruction and appearance of death. So we're talking about the Antichrist. What does Antichrist mean? Instead of God. That's just a complex word. It has a really simple definition. And what have you made? It just begs to me the question, what have I made Antichrist in my life? What have I allowed into my life that takes the place of God? What do I worship instead of God? People worship a lot of things. Here they're going to worship the beast and Satan himself. But right now, Christians, we get caught up into worshiping a lot of stuff. I'm going to try to be general here. Been 30 years of ministry here, right? And I know what the taboo subjects are. Preacher, don't talk about our money. It's my money. It doesn't belong to God. Yeah, you don't understand stewardship. Now, you may name the name of Christ, but you don't understand stewardship. And I am absolutely going to preach on money. Absolutely going to do it. And we talk about, take the whole month of January, have for 30 years, and talk about money, stewardship, accountability. Listen, here's another one. Don't talk to me about my music. Because music is your instead of God. Lots of people, lots of churches have made music their antichrist, their instead of God. And music is an ongoing battle. I shared this with Brother Monday on Sunday. This is not in my resume. it is kind of shrouded. My first attempt at full-time ministry after college, I was fired after 4 months. I made it to 6, but at 4 months, I was told to go over music. Why? Because the people in the church would not let music was their anti instead of Christ. You want to know how personal it was? My home church said, you got to go. And the pastor, when he took the heat, said, you got to go. Now, pastor's in heaven today, and he and I stayed friends, and I left. But it was over the matter of music. And I learned very quickly in life that preachers and Christians have an antichrist called music. Money, music, dress. We don't want anybody telling us how to dress. Don't tell me I got to be in modest apparel. Don't tell me that. You just, preacher, you've gone to meddling. You got, and dress becomes our antichrist. Music, dress, movies, and you can name it. And those are just a few starters. Things that we, and that's in church, that we would rather have in charge of our life than God himself. Antichrist instead of opposition, antagonism. One who comes, Antichrist is one who comes instead of Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 says this, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And the world wonders. Wonders in amazement. Look at verse 12 for just a second. This is next week. It just needs to be mentioned. Verse 12 says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Verse 11 is the second beast. So verse 12 is describing him. What is he going to do? And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. No, you're going to tell me how to worship. Oh, yes, they will. You can't tell me. Oh, somebody will. Somebody will. What did they say when Jesus Christ going to the cross? We, the Jewish people, we will not have this man to rule and reign over us. We will not. Instead, they're going to worship Satan. And anybody that resists causeth all. And it doesn't say causeth many. Now look at it again and just make sure. He exercises all the power of the first beast and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship. The all is not there. Now there are though going to be those during the tribulation period that are saved. They worship Christ. They have not accepted the mark of the beast. But if you're worshiping the beast, you're worshiping the dragon, you can expect that you're going to be forced worship. The danger of delusion. Pastor Ewan, I know that you say nobody will be saved during tribulation period that have already heard the gospel, but I just think that I'm going to see it all. And what does Thessalonians tell us? That strong delusion is going to be manifest. What is that strong delusion empowered by? Satan himself. And you want to talk about delusion. There's nothing. God is powerful. And the absolute power, right? But you think about what is going on the world today. If you have ever, and maybe you've not. You should ride around on Friday night in a police car for a while. I'll just say. If you've never encountered somebody who is under satanic power, It'll change the way you look at the news on a daily basis. You got five police officers, six police officers wrestling with one guy, and you're saying, how is it? Oh, seriously? And you've never been there. I'm just telling you, some of those guys have power. It just take your breath away. But nothing like is going to be here. The danger of delusion, the demonic in Revelation chapter 13 accelerates, goes to an exponential scale for those of you who are mathematicians out there. Bible study wanes, and Satan's power is unchecked. So here's an interesting observation I made this afternoon. Maybe it was yesterday. No, it was Monday afternoon. I would say 99%. Bob from Kentucky would be the exception to this. 99% of the requests I get are to review a video that somebody has watched on the internet. Very seldom, except for Bob from Kentucky, says, hey, Pastor, I'm reading my Bible and I'm looking at this verse. What do I need? And I just say Bob from Kentucky, because I'm sure others of you read your Bible. But Bob asks, you guys are smart enough to know the answer. It's Bob from Kentucky, and he's got to have a pastor. He wants me to feel needed. So Bob comes to me with the Bible question, and he says, Pastor, what does this mean? And I brought some great messages from Bob's question. What is a re-reward there? Bob, that was a question from Bob, and it's not re-reward, it's rearward. And we brought a Sunday morning message on that. But what is that? We are just drawn to the delusion. We're drawn to the slick glossies, drawn to the internet, drawn to those videos. And have you ever been at a restaurant and watched a family eating that is technology for a babysitter at the restaurant? The kids are all sitting there. Parents are happy. Kids aren't bugging them, aren't asking them questions, aren't thinking. Their mind is just like shut off. Don't get your Bible doctrine from a video. Open your Bible and do some Bible study. That's my rabbit trail for the night. John saw, what did he see? He saw the beast worship. And that's nothing new. And you follow Israel's history throughout the Old Testament, and you can watch them delve into apostasy, Baal worship, idol worship. It wasn't long when they came out of Egypt before the priest Aaron gave them a golden calf, the worship, and came up with this astounding lie. Well, you know, I just there, and the people just threw it in, and out jumped this calf. Now, my kids have told me some whoppers over the years, but there is no whopper that I have ever heard quite as big as that whopper that Aaron told. But the delusion in these 7 years, especially we're in the last 3.5 years, we are accelerating towards the end of the tribulation period, will cause the apostasy of Israel. It'll cause what Aaron brought up as Israel left Egypt. It'll cause that to pale in comparison. The demonic power that is unleashed in chapter 13 will be unprecedented. Last week, we were privileged, again, to have Brother Hill. If you did not listen to that message, you should go on the website and listen to it. And he talked about the decay of interest in God's Word in a nation to absolutely about-face and turn in his lifetime. This will be unprecedented. Anti-hatred in Israel, in Ireland, on the U.S. college campuses, in schools and universities today. It just is astounding. But what is it? Is it a hatred for the Jewish people? No, it's a hatred of God. It's a hatred of God. Politics, the entertainment industry, churches, pastors. The rally going on of pastors this week, rallying against Israel, rallying against God. Preachers, But the ultimate rejection of God will be chapter 13, the worship of the Antichrist, the worship of the beast, the forced worship. Who is the Antichrist? Satan's substitute for God. A counterfeit, an imposter, an in place of. And we talked about music, we talked about money, you talk about women, you talk about whatever you want, replacing God. The world, Christians do this. Imagine a world without Christ under the influence of the demonic Satan himself. They're looking for anything. Give us anything except for God. And that's sad. A sad testimony of the world. But it's an even sadder testimony of someone who names the name of Christ. Brings to life the prediction of John in the 5th chapter, the 43rd verse, when Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And I'm going back to Daniel. I'm going to the 11th chapter. I'm just going to read you. We're running out of time. We have run out of time. I'm going to read you two verses, Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 puts it like this. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. Until God says, your 7 years are done, and your time has expired. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Every head is bowed. Interesting thing about Revelation and invitations. 8 times Revelation invites us. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. 7 times the 7 churches. Chapter 13, verse 9, the scripture says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. What is missing from that phrase, what the Spirit saith to the churches, by the time you get to Revelation 13, the church is gone. It's called the rapture. Missing is the phrase unto the churches. Will you be left behind? You're here this evening, you're listening, you say, preacher, I'm here tonight, but I've never received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've got lots of things in place of God. Lots of antichrists going on in my life. Tonight I want to embrace the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as my Savior. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Slip your hand up, hold it up for a moment. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for your salvation. Knowing the terror of the Lord, may we be careful to persuade men to flee the wrath to come. And we'll thank you for your grace in Christ's name. Amen. You have a prayer request card, send that to the aisle.